your eyes and listen to what I believe the Lord is saying to us. And I believe what the Lord is saying to the world. You have heard the song sung. You have bent your knee and offered your heart to me this morning and called me Lord. I love my sons and daughters, but let me express what I'm expressing to all in the world. You have heard many opinions. You have watched political giants fall and those that you didn't believe be lifted up. You have seen evil like you've never seen before. You have experienced the emotions, the ups and downs of what the world is experiencing. At times you have allowed those emotions to bring offense in your own lives, to where you've backed away from what I have said in my word and believed a lie from the enemy. I say to you today, it is the beginning of the beginning of the last days, where I am now pouring out my spirit over all flesh. You have been taught in this church end times, but I say to you, these next years will be some of the greatest years the church will ever experience. When the church will restore their heart and their passion back to my word. Making my word in your own hearts and minds as the only truth. And when you do that as an individual and collectively as a church, there's nothing you cannot do and nothing that cannot be changed. And victory would be won in every area of your life. We are experiencing a change in your own nation regarding health. But I say to you that I am the greatest healer that you will ever know. Because by my son's stripes upon his back, you are and were healed. Come back to my word and allow my word to be first place so that I may pour out all the blessings that I have already promised in my covenant to you. Receive all that I have for you this day on March 16th, 2025. Hallelujah. What you just heard is a word from the Lord. And your next step is to receive that word. It's from the Holy Spirit through a person. And by doing so, if you agree and it hits your heart, let's give the Lord an applause. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, God bless you. As you are seated, and I want to just let you know that Terry and I love you. We missed you. We're so thankful for Pastor Ryan and all the staff in our church. and all the leaders and you for being so faithful to the things of the Lord. My wife and I had the privilege of flying to Louisiana and to lay at rest, either partial or full, of the ashes of four family members. And it's been planned for a few years. And we had the privilege of hanging out with a lot of relatives that we haven't seen for a long, long time. People traveled from different states, North Carolina, Indiana, and to come and be together and to celebrate life and celebrate eternity of our loved ones who knew Jesus Christ. And we were so blessed in doing so. And we came back with our hearts full, knowing that we're coming back to the greatest church in the United States of America and coming back to the greatest people who have done great things for the kingdom of God. And I'm just blessed, just overwhelmingly by being your pastor. And I'm glad I'm back home. And I am so excited about the new series that we begin today. We will spend 4 weeks, then we'll spend 2 weeks regarding Easter. And please, please, please be a part of the Easter weekend, the Friday evening and Sunday morning services as we celebrate the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what we're about. We're about Jesus. And we do understand a triune God, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, but we want to celebrate the work of Jesus. Because of the series that I put together for the next 4 weeks, I have asked our staff to reprint this, what we put together, how to lead someone to salvation. And you will know why that we did that. Today, we celebrate our life of eternity, that we will be with Jesus in heaven and with all our loved ones. We celebrate that being born again means that we are able to walk with God in a beautiful, just relationship with Him. Now, you also were given, you are here. And what this is the 4 weeks that I will be talking to you about, week one through week four. And what this is, and we'll explain it in a moment, is the levels that I believe that we walk through in our growth with the Lord. And it begins even before we were born again. And I gave each one of them titles because you will also, I will explain also in this message, is about 12 years ago, we went into a program where they asked questions of churches. And a total of 180,000 people in total were questioned to get the answers of what it took to grow and the journey of your life and my life with the Lord. And so I went back looking at this, and I, for the last about 8 months, 7 months, I began studying, and the Lord brought me to a passage of Scripture that we've taught on before, and I'm going to bring you this passage of Scripture in light of the same way we taught, excuse me, but also giving you what Jesus was doing when he said this passage, is he was showing how we can attain all the way through to the fourth level, of our walk with God, in our growth with the Lord. So the next 4 weeks, we will particularly speak on each level, but we're going to wrap it up in Mark chapter 4 and give you real insight. Have you ever asked this question? I have prayed, I have done everything that I thought I should do, and how come I have not received an answer? Is God not listening to me? Have I done something wrong? Is there something here? Is my past following me? All the different questions. We're going to answer your question very simply, because God is a God that brings things that we can understand, basically because when Jesus was on the earth, he used parables. We're going to find out what a parable is. We've taught on that, but we're going to talk about that again. And because God just makes it simple. And so today, we're going to talk about level one, but I'm going to give you the kind of the overview of today and the next 3 weeks after of my series. And I'm calling it, You Are Here. Have you ever stopped to consider where you are? Have you ever been at a place that you kind of looked around and you said, where am I? I'm not talking about in your before Christ days where you took something that you didn't know where you were. Or have you asked at times, where am I going? So have you stopped to consider where you are or where you're going? Have you considered at all in your life where God wants you to go? Have you spent time desirous of what God is saying to you, where he wants you to go? In this new series, I believe, firmly believe, that I'm going to help you where you are now, and I'm really going to help you to understand how to know how to get to where God wants you to go. It's very simple. So turn to Mark chapter 4, that famous passage of Scripture. The sower sows the word. And again, I call this, You Are Here. And this is what I saw in this passage. I believe firmly that Jesus gave us a teaching that shows us exactly where we are at right now in our lives. There's no confusion. Where we're exactly the very spot where we're at in our journey with God. And each week, we're going to see the next steps so we can get where God planned for us to go. What I have found, and the word the Lord gave us this morning, what I have found that there are a lot of Christians today that are confused where they're at, where they're going, and what they need to believe. Because there's been such a confusion of words that have been seen on TV, heard on the radio, and all the blogs that are written, and all the news. We don't know what to believe. We don't know where we're at in this, what we should believe. But I'm telling you, what God is asking us is to get back to the Word of God so that there's no confusion. I will say to you, I'm still growing, and let me just say this, of future attractions of what we're going to teach, you'll never stop growing. But I believe that I know exactly where I'm at because my trust is in the Word of God. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I have died to self, and everything that I am, everything that I think, everything that I say, unless I sin or make a mistake and ask God to forgive me. But everything is based upon what God says and who God is in my life, because he is Lord of my life, not just Savior. So here is the reason for the title, You Are Here. Anybody been to Disneyland? You look at a map, what does it say? You are here. And then you look to see what you need to do to get to where you want to go. All right? There is a passage of Scripture in Mark 4 that tells you, you are here, and here's where you need to go. There's no confusion. So in this survey that I talked about earlier, we participated in about 12 years ago. The purpose of the survey was to see how well we were as churches discipling people and teaching people God's word. What came out of the survey, it showed every church attender is in one of four stages. Now, I named the stages, but they're in one of four stages in your walk with God. It also showed, listen very closely to this, how do you get to that stage? All right. From this survey, again, I thought of Mark chapter 4. So group one, you'll see it in front of you in your paper, is those who are exploring God in this church, watching online and listening to the podcast, everything that we do, and the many that listen and watch us, there are many that are exploring God. These are the people who are attending church, who are seeking God, but have not yet made Jesus as their Savior. And we have people, and we want them here. We want people in this church that don't know Jesus, because we want to show them who Jesus is so they can receive Jesus. So your job, your call, your anointing, the major aspect of that is to reach people outside the four walls and talk to them about Jesus and showing them Jesus by your life. So we love these people. You know, when I was a supervisor, I supervised many, many churches, and some of the smallest churches, 10, 12, 15 people, you know, anybody that was different walked in, they might have had long hair, or they might have had tattoos, or they dressed differently, and they kind of looked at them. And, you know, those churches were never going to make it because they were scorning the people that either are trying to grow in the Lord, that become saved, or are not saved. And we need to get to the place in these end times, in these latter days, where the Holy Spirit pours out. It's the Holy Spirit that brings people to salvation. It's us that show them salvation through our own lives and who Jesus is. So keep following me, because I'm painting the picture, and then each week we're going to bring it out. It's just going to become more clear to us what Jesus was trying to show in the passage in Mark chapter 4. So we see these, they are the people in the survey who are far from God, who don't attend church yet. There are people like that. But what we're talking about, the people that are literally exploring God are those that are not saved, but they're taking steps to know who you are. Because they see something different. Anybody have ever had this? There's something different about you. You know, you don't stand there and say, yeah, I'm just cool. No, you don't do that. There's something different about you. You have Jesus in your heart. You have the Holy Spirit ruling your life, and you're walking in an anointing, and they see it and they experience it. They're seeking God, and God's led them to you so you can show them who He is. That's you. Being able to do that to these that are exploring God. Well, the survey, the second group, is beginning with God. These are the people who have accepted Christ and are in the beginning of their journey with God. Now, I told you about this before. I did men's camps for the district. And so you'd have, you know, 500, 600 men. And they'd stand up. And there's this one guy. He's just so cool. I met him. I talked to him. He was really rough on the edges. You know, every 10th word was the F word, all kinds of stuff. And he'd be saying all kinds of cuss words and everything. But he loved Jesus, but his past was still, he was growing slowly, but he was growing, right? And what would happen because of his lifestyle still, he'd scare away a lot of the pious Christians who were, they were meant to be able to help him along. So I thought, you know what, I'm just going to bring him up on the stage and just let him give a testimony. Oh, Lord. So he gets up, and he starts really good. He says, I just want to praise the Lord. And he goes, yeah. He's got the long hair, and he's tatted up, tattoo on his forehead, all kinds of stuff. And not 666, but he had tattoo, you know, on his forehead. And he's just talking. I'm just sitting there, yeah, you know, the menace, love it. He says, I just want to tell you, you know, I am blankety, 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 blankety in love with Jesus. Half the crowd went, yeah, laughing, and half the crowd went, oh. So then I'm standing over here, the supervisor. What do I do with that, you know? So I just laughed and just said, isn't that awesome when we start with the Lord, how passionate we are about Jesus? Now, I wouldn't say it that way, but, you know, and they all laughed and we got past it. But anyways, that's the second group. And so the second group's going to make a lot of mistakes. They're going to fall down on their face, and you're going to walk by and you can either, you know, either look at them and say, oh, geez. Are they really saved? Or go ahead and pick them up and love on them. Let patience have her perfect work. So this is the second group that we find in church. They accepted Christ and are beginning their journey with God. The third group, group three, people who are close to God. This group is growing in the Lord even more. And then the last group, group four, people who are God-centered. And I'll show you the difference between close to God and God-centered in a little bit. So each group, let's keep going over this, because we're going to do this every single week. We're going to go over this so that we understand, because I want to know where you're at, and I want you to know where you can go. Okay? So each group, I've given them a name. So group one, I call it Fellowship for Christ. They're exploring God, and they're exploring you. You know, I want to tell you, I know a lot of the history and a lot of what a lot of you have done. Some of you travel all over the world, and you're a nurse, and you do things. Some of you are fixing things for people. Some of you are bringing food. You know, just doing all kinds of great things. And I know who you are, but you know what? You're still growing in the Lord, and there's things you're struggling with. And why, God, how come this hasn't happened? Or how come that's happened? And all these questions we have, I want to tell you, confusion is not of God. Confusion is of the devil. And we need to understand that. So group one is fellowship. They're exploring God, but they're exploring you. So we got people that come to church and they sit in the back. Not that you're that person if you're in the back today. Right, Mayor Gloria? You know, we love you. You're in the back. But she was in my youth group a couple years ago, right? Yeah. Fellowship. All right, then we have group two. I call that relationship. It's when you've received Christ and you're beginning with God. The group three, I call that discipleship. When you start really growing in the Lord, getting close to God, it takes discipleship, where you take OSL, you go to Bible studies. You come tonight at 6 o'clock for a Bible study. If you're younger, you go over with the identity, the youth group, and the college and the kids. And you see the things that take place, because right now, watch this, without showing you yet, you are here, and God has shown you how to get here through Mark chapter 4. All right? Group 4 is lordship, where you become God-centered, where you literally have given away your life. You are dead in Christ. You are dead. And you now, everything you are, everything you do, is because God is the Lord of your life and you follow what he says. So let's look at Mark chapter 4. Let's do this pretty quick, and we'll get through this message in a good quality time. Mark chapter 4, verse 1. You'll see verse 1 through 4, the first group exploring God. And again he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables and said to them in his teaching, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it." People that don't know the Lord, they've heard about God. But because that seed did not hit good ground, the birds of the air came and devoured the seed. So they still don't know Jesus. Verse 5 and 6 is a second group. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, just young in the Lord, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, this is the third group, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. So we're talking about where you're at and where you're going, and in order to get where you're going, there needs to be growth in the Word of God. Verse 8, but other seed, watch this, God-centered, but other seed fell on good ground, God-centered, Jesus is the Lord, but other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." So what we're finding in most cases, in all categories, they've heard the word. All right? But verse 9 is a little strange It says, he who has ears, let him hear. It sounds like people in the day, some didn't have ears. That's not what it's saying. Obviously, Jesus is not talking about literal ears. Jesus is talking about spiritual ears, about hearing spiritual things, the Word of God. So I want to remind you, the Bible is a spiritual book written by a spiritual being to spiritual beings. So according to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the natural mind cannot understand truths of the Scripture unless you understand through the Spirit being born again. Verse 10, but when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. In other words, they said, we don't get it, Jesus. Watch verse 13. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all parables? He's saying, if you don't understand the sower sows the word, and it's the word and the levels you grow in, if you don't understand that, you will not understand anything else that is said. Because it's the Word of God. It's growing in the Lord, in the Word of God, that produces the fruit. Okay, so what Jesus does, as he is so amazing, Jesus said, if you can't understand this parable, you won't understand any other parable. Or if you don't understand this, your journey will be difficult with the Lord. So Mark 4 is very important to you and to me. Mark 4 is very important, and we're going to spend 4 weeks on it. So Jesus now, to the disciples, explains what we just read of the parable. He starts verse 14. The sower sows the word. So everyone must understand it's about sowing the word. Sowing is a planting. When we did the other series on this, we talked about the planting of the word and how you do that. But this is the key, sowing the word. So the first group, verse 15, he now explains this. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown, by the wayside, when they hear. Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in the hearts, so they don't receive Christ. See, on the wayside, it just lands wherever. And that's what happens in people before they become born again, is they're doing a whatever journey in life. Whatever happens, happens. And they're not listening to what they've heard through the years of who Jesus Christ is. So Jesus is explaining what Satan does. Here it is. Satan is like the birds. When you throw seed out on the ground, they come and they grab the seed. You ever fed chickens and you've thrown corn out to the chickens? You know, they make a lot of noise, you know, and they're running around and they just eat and eat. Before you know it, all the corn's gone. That's what's happening spiritually. Watch this in every level. Satan is like the birds stealing from you. Verse 16, the second group, beginning with God. They're born again. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground. It's talking about ground, okay, again. Who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. Watch what happens in the second group. And they have no roots in themselves. They're babies in the Lord. And so endure only for a time afterward when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake. Immediately they stumble. Now notice the word stumble. Doesn't say they fall away, they lose their salvation, as they stumble. You ever seen someone who's come to church and they get born again and they just, and then something happens in their life and before you know it, you can't find them? They get offended by someone in the church and they don't want to go to church. Well, I used to go to church, but you, now let me just tell you, because we understand grace, which I taught about it, this is my plan all through this year. I taught on grace. They're still born again, but there's zero growth, and they will not get to the next level in their life. Everyone following me? Okay, so you have people that you know now that literally act like they hate you, but before, you were the greatest in the world. Matter of fact, I was shown today that there's a guy from Indiana. When my wife and I were doing a lot of youth camps and all the different stuff and speaking all over, and there's a guy, I mean, we're talking back in 1982 to 85, and someone put out about what Terry was doing, and they love Terry, my wife, and all the thing, and then all these comments of, she's just wonderful. And then this person says, Terry Klaus is evil. Okay? So 46 years of ministry, you have people that literally, they are born again, but they live in hatred, because the word has been stolen out of their hearts. And now they're angry at everybody, you would think. They're easily offended. You know, everyone needs to be like them because they're a believer and you got to be like me. And everything that you do, you got to follow me. And no, it's because they're so insecure because there's no word that has stayed in their heart. They even read the word. Because remember, the word was sown. They heard the word. And they get into that anger. And they get into those things. Everyone smile. Verse 17. And they have no root in themselves, so they endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation, persecution arises, for the word's sake, not because they're anything special. I'm no more special than you are. We're all in this together. I just have the privilege of being called to do what I do. You have the privilege of being called to do what you do. And we walk together. Immediately they stumble. Verse 18, third group. They're close to God. All right, they've been discipled. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word and the cares of this world, the deceitful, three things, the deceitfulness of riches, we're going to talk about these, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. Pastor, I've done everything you've said, and it's not working. It's unfruitful. Fruitful. The enemy has come in and through certain things, thorns, has stolen the word, and it's the word that produces fruit. The fruit's not there. Wow. This is so easy, so simple of the journey. Disneyland, you are here. Boom. Let's go on. Verse 20, fourth group, a God-centered lordship. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. It's talking about the heart. It's talking about the heart. So let's talk about some things to understand in Mark 4 in a better way. So the next few weeks, we're going to be able to jump on it and really go through and go deep here on Sunday morning. Let's look at the word parable. The Greek word is parabole, and para means alongside. Bole means to throw alongside. All right? To throw something alongside. A parable is a story that Jesus would use to throw alongside a truth. Here's the truth, but the story gets you there. So we could understand some things in the natural to see the truth that is spiritual. Yes, you have done great things, but yes, maybe you're not receiving fruit of it because why? The spiritual truth is the enemy has come in areas of your life and ripped off the word. Now, let me just, everyone take a deep breath. And let me just say this to you. It's not because you're a bad person. I get so fed up with, well, you know, God's not going to be able to do that for me because you don't know my past. God does. No, he doesn't. He's cast it into the sea of forgetfulness. And we have to understand that. And this is, we're not talking about, oh, I'm bad or because this didn't happen for me, I'm bad. No, the enemy is bad. And we have to stop blaming ourselves because Jesus took our offense. He took our shame. Amen? Let me just say this right now. Be healed in Jesus' name. There is another Greek word that has para in it. I think we'll understand it better. Parakletos. We say paraclete. This is the Holy Spirit. Para, come alongside, kletos, to come or to walk with. So the Holy Spirit walks with you. He will walk with you, and he wants to come alongside and walk in every area of your life. Why is that? Because you are very special. You are the apple of God's eye. You are his daily delight. And you have to understand that. You have to recognize these things. So what am I trying to tell you? Jesus is telling a story to help us understand the truth in this parable. The misunderstanding of this passage, again, and I'm going to dig a little deeper on this because we can't get past this until you recognize and receive this truth. The misunderstanding of this passage is people would say, it is talking about the parable about three people who are bad people and one person who is good, who produced 30, 60, 100 fold. That's not what it's doing. The people that are seeking God are good people. The people that are beginning with God are good people. People that are close to God are good people. People that are that God is Lord are good people. But there's a bad enemy, and he's trying to steal the word. But when you get to the place that God wants you to go, from your beginning, you are here, to where he wants you to go, he becomes Lord, and he does everything in you and for you, and you receive great benefits from the covenant. And actually, in all four, every one of them received the word. It's not talking about bad people, but about a bad enemy. And it's talking about how you overcome the enemy. This passage, rejoice. This is going to show you how to overcome the enemy. Why overcome the enemy? In Jesus' name. And you start. And the next day you have the same problem. There's no power. The word is not producing in your life. And so there's nothing wrong with in Jesus' name, but it needs to have the word, the power of the word behind it. That's what the Holy Spirit does. So notice all four groups, you can put the word growing. They're all growing. But the enemy hates that, and he wants to stop it. So we're all growing. So wherever we're at right now in our walk with God, you're awesome. You're amazing. You're my brother or sister. And you know what? There are times, because I've known people who still haven't received Christ that I know well, they're my brother waiting to happen. That's my faith. I love them as much as I love you. But if they don't do that, I'm going to hang out with you with eternity. Amen? So the question, what about the first group? Who are exploring God? They are, again, the ones before they're born again, but they're trying to grow in the understanding of God as they seek God. By the way, the people that are God-centered are still growing. I believe in my walk, not perfect, I have a lot of growing to do, but I believe I'm God-centered. Jesus Christ is Lord in my life, but I'm still growing. Oh, man, some of you know me real well. You know he needs to grow. So in the survey, there are four groups and three movements. So you move from group one to group two, group two to group three, group three to group four. In the movements, listen closely, it was easy to see, I wrote this, what caused them to move up to the next group. And a lot of this understanding came from the survey of 180,000 people. So if you move from group one to group two, from fellowship to relationship that I called, it was the truth of grace. What I just taught on, you understood grace. Once you understand grace, you can't work for or earn salvation. That's how you become a believer. Jesus paid for your sin, and you accepted the work of the cross. People that move from group two to group three are people, group three, all right, people who began to understand that God's word is the final authority for their life. So what we find is relationship to discipleship. You find people have gone through OSL that are attending Bible study, the word of God, they're being discipled, and what's taken place is there's this growth and this ability to move even more in the area of their journey with God to get to lordship. So the word, again, is how you run your life. The word is how you run your business. The word is how you run your marriage, how you raise your children. It's the word of God. In counseling of marriage, people will ask me, Pastor, we're having problems. Can you fix us? I ask them, are you in the word of God? Well, we come to church. I can't fix you. Because it's the word that will fix you. Because the enemy hates your marriage. He will do anything and everything to destroy your home. He hates you. He despises everything about you because you remind him of God. You remind him of God. And when we get to that place of understanding is that it's the word of God, every area of your life can be transformed. The Bible says to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What do you renew it with? The word of God. So let's look at the third movement, people who move from third group The discipleship to the fourth group, lordship, is when they understand the truth of giving. Oh, there it is. You're a pastor. Everything comes back to giving. I'm not just talking about the tithe. Ah. You know, people say, well, you know, I got a gift of giving. Well, praise God. Everybody who knows that Jesus Christ is Lord of their life and live it, they're a giver. When we understand his lordship, again, I'm, you know, not on the earth for me. I'm on this earth for him. Everything I do, it's for him. My motivation is for him. My passion is for him. You give your time, your talent, and your treasure. Yeah, your tithe too. People that don't tithe, Jesus Christ is not Lord of their life. In the four levels, it's about friendship too. See, all of this is introductory, and you're going to hear all this in the next few weeks. Don't miss one. Watch this. Exploring God, fellowship. Jesus is not their friend yet because they don't know him. Group two, beginning with God, relationship. Now he is a friend, and you've met Christ. Group three, close to God, discipleship. He is your best friend. And you talk to him, discipleship. Group four, God-centered lordship. You are married to Jesus, and he has become your husband. Remember that teaching in Grace? Now, that's just the introduction. So let's go back to Mark 4, verse 14, and talk about the first group. Verse 14, the sower sows the word. Verse 15, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Now remember, Mark 4 is Jesus talking. Jesus says, Satan can take the word out of your heart. Oh, no, he can't. If it's in my heart, he can't take it. Yes, he can. This is why the Bible says to protect or guard your heart. Because your heart is the ground that the word produces, 30, 60, 100 fold. Or your heart is where Satan can take out the word. You ever heard of a broken heart? Satan has taken out the word. How many people do you know that are exploring God? How many people you know that they started attend church and then they went and they got worse? I'm going to quit smoking. I'm going to quit toking. I'm going to quit drinking. I'm going to quit. They come for a few months. Then after that, they're 10 times worse. There's another scripture about cleaning the house. But they don't bring the word in. Remember that in the Grace teaching? And because of that, it becomes 7 times worse. The word was sown in their heart, and Satan came and took it out. So here's my thought. If Satan follows up on people immediately, why don't we? If immediately, when the word is sown, so if you see somebody that's beginning or before, you see him in church, take him out to lunch after. Talk to them. Grab them. Say, hey, it'll be free. Can I get you some coffee today? Take him out here in the courtyard. Look, there's creamer. There's all of this. It's all yours on my tab. Okay, take him out there and talk to them. Give them your testimony. Not a long testimony, short testimony. Don't chase them away. But the reality is, love on people. See, if Satan follows up on people, we need to follow up on people. The same parable is found in Matthew 13 and 8. Let me quickly read this. Matthew 13, 19. The word kingdom is the gospel. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. Wow. Luke 8, 12 tells us, those by the wayside are the ones who hear, then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. See, they haven't said yes to Jesus yet. So here are the three things you need to know if you're here and you're exploring God. Let me show you three things. And if you receive this, this will show you too. First of all, salvation is not based on works. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Salvation is based on what Christ did. John 6, 28, 29. Then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. Here's the second point. Salvation is a free gift. Romans 6, 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus paid your debt. And the last is salvation. It is easy to receive. Stick with me. This is so important. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Not you shall, you will be saved. Don't complicate what God made simple. Matter of fact, God took the most complicated issue in the world. Here's the issue. How can a sinful person have a relationship with a holy God? Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, then you will be saved. Let me say it another way. Believe in your heart. Confess with your mouth. Then you will be saved. One more way. To be saved, believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and confess that with your mouth. Pastor, you said the same thing. Uh-huh. Yeah. Because it's simple. Let's all stand, please. Let's just bow our hearts and close our eyes. How many of you today who love Jesus with all your heart have recognized, wow, now I get it. Now I get it. How many of you have made decisions based on the non-getting it and tried to make it happen yourself by your works, and you're still in the same place? You are here, but you want to be here because the Holy Spirit's leading you to here. But it's like every time you walk that direction, you stumble. It's because the devil is like a dirty bird. That comes and rips you off every single time. Break out of that. Get in the Word of God. Have passion. Sign up for OSL. Get here at 6 o'clock. I know a football game is on. I know that you plan to rest. I know. Get to church. Get in the Word of God. We're going to talk about journaling also in this series. We're going to show you how to dive in. We know this here. We teach it. But we're going to talk about it again because we have some new people. And then some people, the dirty birds have come in and you've stopped doing it. And you're a wonderful person. Amen. See, right then you should have had a thought. And Pastor, you're a wonderful person too. You're a good person. But you got to dive into that. I love my wife head over heels. She's not perfect. You know why I love her head over heels? Because I have nothing in me to be against her. Because the Word is in my heart. Amen. I'm not easily offended. I walk in the truth of the Word of God, and I know who I am. But it took a while for me to get there in every area of my life. That's your journey. Let's just go ahead and close our eyes. Anyone here that you're here and you've been exploring God and you want to know Jesus? Remember, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you will be saved. If you're here, please raise your hand and let me know that you want to do that today. If you're watching online, raise your hand and just tell the Lord, I believe in you and I confess you as Lord and Savior. Report back to us on Church Center, whatever, however, come and visit us. Anyone here? Let's keep our eyes closed. Now I'm going to say this. Thank you. Okay, I'm sorry, I didn't see your hand. You can go ahead and put your hand down. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, you will be saved. And then go to the table in the back and say, I want to know more about Jesus. And start growing. Tell someone that you did this today, and they will grab you, and hopefully they'll take you out for that free coffee. But if you're watching online, I'm telling you, the enemy has lied to you and you're afraid to go somewhere because people might know what you were. We don't care what you were. We know where you're at and we know where God wants you to be. We will love you into the kingdom. Father, thank you for all you're doing in this house. Blessings upon every home represented. Lord, I thank you in Jesus' name. Heal marriages. Heal bodies. Restore businesses. Prosper people as they allow the Word of God to be protected in their heart. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. As you leave, have a passion to leave someone to the Lord. God bless you. See you tonight.